So I woke up this morning and I had this phrase, sometimes you feel like you're having a breakdown before you have a breakthrough. Have you ever felt that way? Hallelujah. Sometimes when everything is going on, you get all these people around you pulling on you and you feel like this circumstance and that circumstance is going to like pull you apart. I'm often reminded of, what's the dude that broke the sound barrier? That guy. And one of the things that happened right before he went through was there was a whole lot of shaking going on. He felt like he was going to fly apart. And he stayed the course, and he broke through the sound barrier. And so there's some times in our life, and I've had seasons in my life, and I know you've had seasons in your life, you feel like you're breaking down. I'm not having a breakdown, y'all. I'm fine. I'm just saying, and really it's just lying circumstances, and it's feeling motivated. And the devil, when he knows you're onto something, he'll try to even pull out some more stops around you to get you to feel that way. I mean, there was a man named Peter, and he was walking on the water. And really, right in the middle of one of the greatest things a natural man ever did, he had a breakdown. He took his eyes off of the word and got them onto circumstances. There was a man who most people really misunderstand. You know, it's in the Bible and we should read it, but if you're going to read Job, you should read James. Because the two scriptures in James about Job tell us what we should have got out of Job. But one of the things you get out of that is this was a man who was walking in God's highest and best blessings before there was ever covenant. And he said this, he said, my greatest fear has come upon me. And I've watched people, and I in my own life, the devil still uses that fear to get you to have a breakdown. In other words, he tries to use fear to get you to let go. And sometimes you're walking on the water when he talks you out of what you're walking on. He talks you out of walking on the word because of circumstances, because of people around you. And circumstances and enemies, and just because we live here, all try to pull on your carnality, on your flesh, to get you to side in. Because the devil needs you to be afraid. The devil needs you to be in fear. The devil, that is his raw material. Faith is God's raw material. Fear and doubt and unbelief and living by what you see and feel, which is so easy to do for every one of us in this room. And we talk about it so much. We talk about it, and then we look at it, and the devil will bring people around who love to commiserate and feel sorry for themselves to get you off of the word, to get you into fear. Fear is being not certain of your future that God has told you about. Fear is very tangible. It's very real. And so when I woke up this morning and the Lord said to me, and I thought it was an interesting way to say good morning, was, you know, sometimes you feel like you're having a breakdown. Good morning. There was not even a good morning in it. Sometimes you feel like you're having a breakdown right before you have a breakthrough. And so I know he was encouraging me, and I want to encourage you. So a lot of times what I get, stuff like that, I know it's not just for me. I know it's for us as a whole. And so are y'all ready for a breakthrough?
Yes.
Do you know the God of a breakthrough?
Yes.
Hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Second Samuel chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold, went down to a holding place or a cave. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Will you deliver them in my hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon my enemies before me as the breach of the waters." Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. So the first thing I want you to see is the devil is always after your anointing. And when you hear that word anointing, most times people think of preachers. But every one of you are anointed. Every one of you have an unction from the Holy Ghost. And if everybody in the body of Christ will understand that, there won't be so much jockeying for position. And so everybody say, "I am anointed." Amen. When Angela was here on that Sunday morning, she said, "Everybody has a healing ministry." Do you have a healing ministry? And so I would say to you, every one of you are anointed. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Amen. You have this treasure in earthen vessels, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're anointed on the inside, and you're anointed on the outside. And your anointing will not only change your life, but it'll change everybody's life around you. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be called. Every one of you are anointed. I'm anointed. You're anointed. We're all anointed to function in the body of Christ. Say it one more time. I am anointed. And one thing the devil hates is the anointing. One of the things he hates, because at one time he was the anointed cherubim. He was anointed. And he misses that anointing. He recognizes that anointing. He despises that anointing. And he goes after that anointing. And one of the things about you being born again, a lot of times people don't understand this, is the moment you get born again, I mean, the devil has hated mankind forever. But he really hates them even more after they get born again. Because he knows where they're going and he knows where he's going. If you ever just want to get rid of the devil, he keeps talking. You know, if he ever talks to you a lot about your future and telling you how grim it is, you ought to pipe up and say, "Let's talk about yours. Let's talk about yours. I know one day I'm going to look at you and laugh and say, 'Is that the one?' So I'm just going to start right now. Are you the one?" Well, don't make him mad. He's already mad. You know, I was talking to someone recently, and they're like, "Well, I just want to stay out of the crosshairs of the devil. I'm just going to kind of go into hiding, and I'll make a deal with him, and he'll leave me alone." I tried that. I didn't get to my story with this person. I tried that after I got out of Bible school, and it was getting too much. The anointing was getting too much. The presence of God and the devil came after me. And I'd messed up. I didn't obey God. I didn't want to be a youth pastor. And I wanted to preach to the adults because I thought I was too good to do the youth anyway. And, then I figured out I'm not too good to scrub a toilet. I'm not too good to do anything. Amen. And so it took me a little bit to get that realization. Once I got it, but during that time, I'd gotten out of the will of God, and the devil attacked me in such a way that I begged the devil. Have you ever begged the devil to leave you alone? I begged him to leave me alone. All that is doing is putting a meat bone around your neck. And he's like, "I got you now." And so you and I don't have a choice. First of all, you've got to realize the enemy's coming. He came after Jesus. Jesus successfully defeated him while he was on the earth, and then he defeated him forever. And the devil is after. See, right here, this is a type that the enemy has come to take the anointing. He's after what you have to do for God. And every one of you in this room have got something to do for God. And it's not just fill a chair. It's not just do your religious duty. You've really got something important to do for God. You've got somebody to reach. You've got somebody to lay hands on. You've got somebody to talk to. Everybody in this room, I don't care your age or how long you've been doing this, you have something to do for God. Everybody say, "I'm anointed." And when you realize, though, the enemy is after that anointing, what's he after? He wants you to sit down and shut up. He wants everybody wants to stand up and do something in church. But if you look in the book of Acts, most everything was done outside of the church. If you're waiting for somebody to give you a pulpit to do something, then No, do something out there. Do something out there. God will make a room for your gift, just whatever it is. But you don't have to be called to be a preacher or teacher to be anointed. Say it one more time. I'm anointed. You're anointed. And so the enemy came after the anointing. So, well, if he's coming, I don't want to be anointed. It's too bad. You're anointed. Amen. And I, to finish my story, not leave myself hanging, the devil was picking on me morning, noon, and night. And it doesn't take long to get rid of him. It doesn't take long. I submitted myself back unto God. I resisted that. Why do you think I preach so good off of James chapter 4, verse 7? Because I've lived it, I've done it, and I know it. Submit yourself therefore unto God. Then and only then can you resist the devil. If he's not fleeing from you, one of the places you got to check is, are you submitted? Are you submitted? You anointed person, are you submitted or not? Are you submitted? That was weak. Are you submitted? Yes. Hallelujah. Are you anointed? Yes. Are you submitted? Yes. Good. So let's look here at verse, go on, and it says in verse 19, and David inquired of the Lord. How many know it's a good time to pray? Do you got any prayers in the room? Yes. Said it's a good time to pray. Yes. Especially when the enemy comes. You ought to be prayed up all day long. But if you look at circumstances in your life and you can't figure a way out of it, you don't know what to do. I mean, we ought to be, you know, we shouldn't save God for the last resort. But aren't you glad he is the last resort? And he doesn't say, well, finally you got here. And now that you're here, I'm not going to answer you because you put me last on. Aren't you glad he's not like you and me? Aren't you glad he's not like us? And you can go to him. Even if you waited till he was last, you can still go to him. I recommend go first. But it's like Paul and Silas in jail. It was midnight. And I know that's a good preaching. I can get me an organ up here and I can preach about the midnight hour. Oh, I can do it, y'all. I can get me an organ and start. I can do it. Hallelujah. I've done it before. Can I, Belinda? I can do it. I preach Belinda Mama's sermon. I have an open invitation in the backwoods of Lower Alabama, hallelujah, to come do revival anytime I want to. Me and my organist, hallelujah. I don't know who she was, I don't remember. Oh, no, it was him. Hallelujah. And then the mother of the church looked at us both and told us, basically, I'm doing a sermon, doing a message at a funeral, honoring Belinda's mom and preaching, doing a little sing song. So why do you do that? I don't know. The anointing fell on me to do it. I didn't pretend. I was like, I was just as surprised as everybody else was. But I'm telling you what, Belinda says they still talk about me down there in Lower Alabama. Hallelujah. Listen. I don't know. I want to stir you up a little bit. I want you to understand that when the enemy comes, it is not the time to complain. It's the time to pray. It's the time to praise. It's the time to shout. And sometimes we don't feel like it. I don't. Do you always feel like it? It's good to have people around you that know you well. Then instead of letting you waller, you know what a waller means? I grew up on a pig farm. Waller, you know what waller means? Means get in the mud with them. You need somebody to yell at you and say, get out. Now, don't be yelling at anybody you don't know. But I'm talking about people that you have given permission to when you wallering, you know, because it doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do you any good to talk circumstances. It doesn't do you any good to be feeling sorry for yourself. All it does is open the door up to the devil more. That's all it does. Wanting people, anytime you're wanting pity. So, well, the Bible says Jesus was moved with, he pitieth them. That's not the same thing as what we, that's not the same word. It has more to do with compassion. If you really are compassionate on someone, sometimes you'll yell at them. Quit that. Don't stay there. Don't stay there. It's time to pray. Can you imagine Paul and Silas doing everything right? Their heads in a hole and their arms in a hole, their hands in a hole, probably their backs beaten. You know, I wish that I could say to you that I would be in a good place as Paul and Silas. I might have started with, Lord, I was just preaching. I'm not casting out another devil. I'm not, unless you can promise me this is not going to happen again, I'm not going to cast. Because that's really what happened, right? They cast out a devil. They were doing the Lord's business. And so people don't understand stuff like that, but there's an enemy. And there's natural things that go on. But they didn't quit. And I used to preach that they were praying. What am I talking about? The enemy came and he prayed. He inquired of the Lord. The enemy came, and instead of, Lord, where are you? Lord, why did you let me down? Lord, I'm not going to do this anymore because you disappointed me. The example is what? Okay, I may not understand why I'm here and why my back is bleeding, but I don't care. I'm going to praise him anyway. And they weren't praising to get out of prison. I used to preach they were. And then I saw it, and how I know they weren't is because when the prison began to shake, you know, sometimes God will send an earthquake, and his earthquakes don't destroy anything. They loose their bands, and how cool that was for that thing to pop off their head, and then the chains to fall off of them, and the prison doors to open. How do I know they weren't praising and praying to get out of prison? Because they stayed there so that man didn't kill himself. They weren't afraid of being caught. They didn't care if they got caught. They're more concerned with this man's salvation. And then they went to his house afterwards. How many of you know if they anyone wanted to find, if the jailer's not there, do you know they know where he lives? If they were so concerned about getting out of Dodge, they would have ran. But they not only stayed there, they went to the jailer's house. And if he's not at the jail anymore, don't you know the people know where he lives? They weren't trying to run away. But when the enemy comes, when things come, it's time to really hunker down and really pray and really get in there and inquire of the Lord. And so that's what Paul and Silas did. That's what David did. And that's what you and I have to do. I mean, so many occasions... One of my favorite things, when Lonnie was here, he was bringing this up. You know, when Paul was on that ship, remember he started out with, he had a perception, he had a knowing. I teach this a lot when I teach on the witness and on being led by the Spirit of God. He had a witness, and in his witness that the ship, this was going to be with much damage, and we all might lose our lives. And then it says this in Acts chapter 27, verse 21. Acts chapter 27, verse 21. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. So when you see that, then what was he doing right before that? What was he doing right before that? What was he doing? He had gone away. And he was in the center of the ship. He had drawn away, and he was there alone with the Lord. And so he had kind of gone away. He had gotten in the presence of God. In other words, the witness on the inside of him had led him into the middle of the ship, where he just stayed in there and prayed. He wasn't worried he was going to die. He wasn't up at the storm. He wasn't even up at the storm rebuking it. Obviously, I believe the Lord came and talked to him after much. I mean, everything. How many of you know there's screaming, there's crying? I mean, these are grown men, but they're, you know, they don't care anyway. We're going to die. And he's in the middle of the ship talking to the Lord. And after that long period of time, he got a word from the Lord. He got an answer. How many of you know that we get words from the Word of God, but if you spend some time praying about it, if you'll begin to pray, especially in other tongues, God has given you and I the ability to pray out mysteries, to pray out strategies, to know what to do. And from that place of prayer, he came up with confidence. And he said, you know, nothing changed right away. But he said, everything's going to be all right, y'all. Everything's going to be all right, y'all. And you should have listened to me in the first place. And who was he talking to? He was talking to the centurion who was guarding him, who listened more to the experts than the preacher. And so he said, you should have listened to me. So I say from that, it's okay to tell someone I told you so. As long as you do it sweetly. Or not so sweetly. As long as you do it and you really did tell them what the word of the Lord said or what the word said about it. Because then what was he doing? The reason he said it was redirecting his confidence back towards, I can hear from God. Can you hear from God? Can you hear from God? Can you hear from God? Some of the toughest times to do it is in the middle of a storm. But you can hear from God in the middle of a storm. You can hear from God when the enemy is all around you. You can hear from God because you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above every principality, power, might, and dominion. You are seated at a table in the presence of your enemies. If you're waiting for the time when there's peace all around you and everything is always going to be fine, then you're waiting for a time that does not exist in the earth that we live in today. You have to get good at being at peace and being centered on the things of God while the enemy is howling, yelling, screaming, and circumstances are all around you. Amen. I mean, there's enemies all around David, and they've come to kill him. They've come to get the anointing. They've come to destroy him. And he inquired of the Lord, Lord, what are we going to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what am I supposed to do? How many of you know the word is clear on what we're supposed to do, but there are things in our lives sometimes that we just have to get the plan of God on. What do you want me to do about this? And so the Lord told him, what did he say? He's like, you're going to deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David in verse 19, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. And so I love this, and we're just going to look at verse 20. Let's look at verse 20. Let's look at it in the Amplified, though. And David came to Baal-perazim, and he smote them there and said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me. Everybody say breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
The Lord has done what? Broken through. I'm about to have a breakthrough. Looks like I was going to have a breakdown, but instead I'm going to have a breakthrough. The enemy thought he had broke me down. He thought he had gotten me. Everybody around me thought I was going through a breakdown, but I'm having a breakthrough. Everybody say breakthrough. I'm having a breakthrough. Turn your breakdown into a breakthrough. Hallelujah. It might look like it's a breakdown, but it's just a place for God to come and break through. What is he? Who's trying to cause a breakdown? The enemy. And he said, God has broken through my enemies before me like the bursting of great waters. Like the bursting of great waters. And so I like Isaiah 59:19 out of the Amplified. There's been much to do over where the comma goes. Brother Copeland started it. Isaiah 59:19, so as the result of Messiah's intervention, they shall reverently fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in, Brother Copeland says that's where the comma goes, and I agree with him. Like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him and put his to flight. Why do I agree? Because of this. For he will come like a rushing stream, which the breath of the Lord drives. He will come. He will come. That's the Lord. He will come like a rushing stream. And just like the God of the breakthrough, what did it say? He said, like bursting out of great waters. And so the Bible says the enemy will come in. And I like the comma there, like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. The enemy's not the flood. God's the flood. I said the enemy's not the flood because God's always greater. And the Bible looks at the Holy Ghost as many waters sometimes. It refers, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Come on, out of your belly, out of the power of the Holy Ghost, there's a river that comes. And so whether you put the comma anywhere, we still win anyway, amen? It's not that big a deal to me. But I'm just telling you, we win. But there's a flood. When you really get in there and pray, when you get in there and believe, when you get in there and decide, I'm not going to have a breakdown. I'm not going to let these circumstances rule me. I'm not going to be moved by them. I'm just going to be moved by what God says. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray till I know. And I'm going to pray the word of God. And I'm going to pray over the people around me. And I'm going to pray the word. And I'm going to pray in other tongues. And I'm going to pray out the mystery. And I'm going to get direction. And I'm going to get understanding. And I'm going to be able to follow on it. And I'm going to be able to walk on it. I'm going to get direction. Just like the Lord told David. He's like, go ahead and go on up. I've delivered them into your hands. Has the enemy already been delivered? Has Jesus already won? Colossians 2:15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of him openly, triumphing over him in it. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2 that Jesus himself was raised far above every principality, power, might, and dominion, every name that's been given a name. Ephesians 2:6 says you've been raised up together with him. Amen. You've been raised up together with him. In John 16, the Lord even began to talk about, he said, and the prince of this world has been judged. What's he been judged? Defeated. Amen. Amen. In other words, Jesus said, it's already been decided. I'm going to defeat him. He's already been judged. He hasn't gone to the cross yet. Hallelujah. Listen, when Jesus died on a cross, he shed his blood. And that blood came down, and you see that happening. But then the Bible says when he said, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost. The Bible in Acts says that, talking about his soul not being left in hell. I'll tell you what happened. The moment that he gave up the ghost and he said, it is finished, he went into the bowels of hell. And what happened there? There was a whole lot of shaking going on. What the devil used to do to shake mankind, Jesus went into the bowels of hell and shook it. Amen. Shook it. Hallelujah. And he shook it all until he got the keys. And the Bible says what happened when it was finished, the Holy Ghost came down and pulled him up and pulled everybody up that would ever believe and sat us all down at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so, hallelujah. Understand that, yes, there's lots of things going on all the time, but you're ready for a breakthrough. And every once in a while, we need a breakthrough. You can live in the breakthrough, but every once in a while, we just need a breakthrough. Are you ready for a breakthrough? Hallelujah. Well, sometimes when all that's promised, then you got, what happened next? Well, actually, then David got up and went and did something about it. Because faith has corresponding actions. So he didn't just say, the Lord just said, well, I'll give you the enemy. And David's like, okay. No, he had to go do something. He had to go. He had to go. He had to fight. Do I got any fighters in the room? What'd the Apostle Paul say? I have fought. What's a good fight? The one you win. Participation trophies, my behind. Sorry if that offends you, but... win. I know sports is a little different. I get it. But I just wonder if we're teaching this generation to just participate. Because you can't control what happens. In the spirit, it matters. It's more than just showing up. You have to fight. And it's a good fight. And it's a fight that we won. I go into it with a winning mindset. That's why if you have a winning mindset, you won't sit down in the middle and cry. Or if you do cry, you'll wipe your tears and get up. Amen? Amen. One of the worst things you can do while you're down, while the circumstances are raging, I know it's easy to do, is just to begin to agree with them. I can't take this anymore. If you ever hear yourself slap yourself in the face or give somebody permission to bop you on the head, I just can't take it anymore. That is like music to the devil's ears. I got him. I got him. I can't take this anymore. I quit. I don't want to live. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. It's not fair. I hate my life. All such things should use a bar of soap. We should, what's that nasty stuff? Do they still make it? Lava. Now, on the farm we grew up, you had to have lava because there was such vibrant black dirt. You had to get it off with lava. I was such a good child. I don't think I ever had my mouth washed out with soap. I don't think. But lava would have been good if it had been necessary. It's just an unforgettable experience, I think, my cousins told me. Anyway, so I get the temptation, though. Can I say I've been perfect at it? No, I can't say I've been perfect at it. I can't say I've been perfect at it. But one of the things we in this room do on a Wednesday night is we're the kind of people who'll just keep getting up. Though I fall down, I'm going to rise up one more time. Amen? I'm like that Proverbs dude. Though I fall down, I'm going to get up one more. As long as you get up one more time, then you fall down, you're okay. Just get up one more time. Because God won't fail us. But we see, I love this because he's the God of the breakthrough, but I see this as a pattern, and I believe God already broke through for our lives. And I just want to leave you with some of these scriptures. We're not leaving yet. That was my, we're not leaving. We're far from leaving, so don't get excited. So, ooh, that's a short message. Yeah, no, we're not, no. No. So we got to get up. Why do we get up? Because we have the promise of victory. I'm just going to give you some scriptures. You'll know all these, but I'm going to stir you up. Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Everybody say, I am more than a conqueror. What's more than a conqueror? Means Jesus did the fighting and all you do is take the victory. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say, thanks be to God. I have the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. You what? You have the victory? He gives us victory. I have the victory. Amen. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always, as long as you don't quit, as long as you don't sit down, as long as you don't throw up your hands and say, I'm done. Now thanks be unto God, which always, turn to your neighbor and say, always means always. It always causes us to triumph in Christ, and he makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. People are looking for victorious people. People are looking for winners. Amen. And we can't win on our own. We win because of him. Amen. Say it again. I'm more than a conqueror. Amen. I'm more than a conqueror. He always gives me the victory. He always causes me to triumph. So that's your promise. That's why you get up. That's why you get up when you don't feel like getting up. That's why when it looks like you're going to have a breakdown, you know a breakthrough is on the way because you have a promise. And it's worth getting up for. It's worth getting up for. It's worth getting up for because God's word never fails. When you want to quit and you'd rather whine and you'd rather stay depressed, you get up because of what God said to you. You're more than a conqueror. Amen. Amen. He always gives you the victory. And when you get a victory, it's a sweet savor to everybody around you. Amen. It'll draw people. Amen. We're just getting started. Good. Let's have some more. Thank you. I will. Psalms 18:35, the NIV. Psalms 18:35. You give me your shield of victory. And your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I have a shield of victory. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are great. You are great. Hallelujah. Psalms 44:3, NIV. Says, it was not by their, Psalms 44:3, it was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand. It was your arm and the light of your face, for you loved them. Amen. So guess what? It's not by my might. It's not by my power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. I'm not taking claim for victory. Anytime I get one, I make sure that it goes right to him. Amen. Because I know, even though it looks like natural things, I've gotten good at this over the years, and I want you to get good at it. Anytime there's a victory, I don't take the credit for it. Even if it looks like I did it. Because I know the reason that I have brain cells is because of him. The reason that I can talk is because of him. The reason I have two hands, even though he blessed me, it's because of him. Amen. You get good at always giving God glory, giving God honor. You know, people come up, and I appreciate it. They'll say, well, Pastor, that was a great message. I always try to say, well, thank God. And you say, well, you know, you don't have to be. Is that false humility? It's not false humility. I didn't get it myself. And if you know me and you've heard my story, I don't preach it on my own. Amen. So I'm just real quick to give him glory and credit. And when you do that in every area of your life, if you own your own business, anytime you get a sale, glory to God. Amen. Anytime you're in a career and anything happens, you get an idea. When I was an accountant, and I would run into trouble, I figured out God knows accounting. And I would ask him, why is this, Lord, it's accounting. It has to balance. Why is it not balancing? Where is it? And sometimes I would go home, and when I was going home or on the next way to work, I would know exactly what to do. Man, he saved me a lot of time, got me a lot of raises. Because I looked smart. He made me look smart. I remember one time, this is when computers were new, and I had just gotten filled with the Holy Ghost, just gotten born again. And I did something on this computer that we had at work that I should have lost all of the data. Months worth of data. My boss, have you ever heard me talk about my boss? She could cuss and rhyme. She was wickedly anointed. The next guy to me, he was twice my age. He needed medication to work there. That's funny, but it's the truth. She was mean. I prayed, and I got there an hour early, and I prayed, and then I nervously did something and said, Jesus, help me, and there it all was, and I think I passed out in the Holy Ghost almost. It shouldn't have been there. I'm just telling you. And oh, I gave him glory for that one. Not to her. But you know, before I left, she came back to the Lord. I'll tell you this. This is a funny. Some of you have heard me tell this. Don't do this. Unless the Lord leads you to do this. One day she came across. My desk was right across from hers. She had me on a tight leash. She really trained me a lot about my work ethic that I have today came from her. But she would always come across and cuss at me and rhyme and scream. Because everything had to be perfect all the time. And so at first I thought it was kind of cool and funny, because when I was backslidden, I thought it was kind of cool and funny and I could handle it. But then after I got filled with the Holy Ghost and she started using the Lord's name in vain and yelling at me stuff, one day I slammed my hands on my desk. I rose up and I pointed my finger in her face. I said, don't you ever talk to me that way again. Next time you come into my office, you will address me in a different manner. And I sat down and I started to pack. I did. I turned off my Christian music on my desk and I began to pack. But I didn't get fired and she never talked to me that way ever again. I'm not telling you to do that. And I don't know why I told you that story today. Because we always have the victory. Hallelujah. He gave me victory that day. We did a Jericho march. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, NIV. He holds victory in store for the upright of the righteous. Victory is in your store. He's a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. He holds victory in store for the upright. Why do we get up? Because victory is ours. 1 John 5, 4 and 5. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Everybody in the room is born again, right? So you believe on the Son of God, right? Amen. And this is the victory. Amen. Shout it one more time. I have victory. I have victory, right? Amen. I win. God, the enemy came for David's anointing. He came to bind him. He came to destroy him. And then when David saw it, he prayed. He got along with God and got direction. And from that direction, he went against his enemy. Now, you don't have to have direction today to go against your enemy. Anytime he shows up, you ought to bind him. You ought to submit yourself to God. You ought to resist him. What does the enemy bring? Anything he brings that steals, kills, and destroys. A symptom shows up. You ought to resist it. A problem shows up in your family. You ought to resist it. You ought to believe against it. Anytime discord shows up at your house or your work, you ought to resist it. You ought to fight to stay in unity because that's where the blessings flow. But where there's, that envy and strife, where there's strife, where there's discord, that always amazes me, every evil work, the Lord does not make light of words. Wherever there's discord, wherever there's strife, there's every evil work. So don't let strife in any area of your life. And so God wants you to have victory. Everybody say victory.
Victory.
Are you ready for some more victory?
Yes.
Amen. Are you ready for good success?
Yes.
Amen. We're like David, right? Amen. So the Lord caused a great breakthrough. Everybody shout one more time, breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
We're not going to have a breakdown. We're going to have a breakthrough. Amen. I said, we're not going to have a breakdown. It's time for a breakthrough. So you got to get up. So just for fun, because I'm preaching, 2 Samuel chapter 23. Because I need to talk about him a little bit. And after him was Shammah, the son of the Agi, the Heratite, however you say it. And the Philistines were gathered together in a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils, black beans. And the people fled from the Philistines. So what happened here, we got Shammah, who was one of David's mighty men. How many of you know David learned how to do these things? And when he was in the cave of Adullam, there was 400 guys that gathered around him. They were all in debt, discontented, disquieted. They were in distress. They were the big D's. They were messed up. And David took those men and he retrained them. Why did they come to David? Because this was a giant killer. They came to the cave of Adullam because they wanted to learn from a giant killer. I come to the Lord because I want to learn from a giant killer. Amen. He's destroyed the enemy. He's destroyed the devil. And I want to learn from him. I want to walk with him. I want to hang out with someone who knows how to win. I want to hang out with a winner. And he has won the victory and he wants you to have the victory. I'm not saying you don't go through challenges. I'm not saying you don't go through battles. And because it's a good fight of faith, sometimes you got to fight. But you'll win if you fight God's way. You'll fight with the word of God. You'll fight by faith. And so he retrained these 400 men who were in debt, who were discontented, who were distressed. He retrained them. And Shammah was one of his mighty men. And so when I think of King David, a man after God's own heart, I also think of him as the giant killer and how he defeated Goliath. And I believe he trained them how to walk in victory and take on things, because he learned by being a shepherd boy, defeating a lion and a bear. And then they saw him. And I believe that's why they came to him, because he was a giant killer. And so here we have Shammah. And if you don't know this, if you're new to the church, I talk about Shammah all the time. I've got Wesley tried to, he will never make me a t-shirt, but I want one, even if it's just for me, because Shammah is one of my heroes. And I'm going to look him up after I look up a few people in heaven. I'm going to go find me Shammah. Maybe he'll be in the greeting line when I come. Hallelujah. These people fled, but he stood in the midst of the ground. Now, I always embellish a little bit because it's only two scriptures. But I have in my mind's eye, I see that the Philistine, the enemy, always comes two times hard in your life. The Philistine is always representative of the devil. And the devil comes two times hard in your life, when you sow a seed and when you're about to harvest a seed. Because if he can keep you from sowing a seed, or if he can get the seed right when you sow it and it doesn't begin to grow, he's won. But if he didn't get then he's going to come again at harvest time. He's going to come right when you put this start to get ready to put the sickle, what the Bible says. You're ready to receive what God has for you. And I believe we're in a time of harvest around here. And in your life and my life, the devil don't like it because he knows what time it is. He knows what time it is. And it's harvest time. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. I'm telling you in your business. I'm telling you in your career, in your family, and things you've been standing for a long time. It's harvest time. Just don't give in. Don't give up. It's harvest time. It's harvest time because the enemy comes hard at harvest time. And so here he is. The enemy's coming up. And year after year, when it's harvest time and there's a troop, you know, whether that's 400 Philistines or 200 Philistines, it don't matter. It's 200 or 400 against a bunch of farmers. And so they've planted, they've watched over their field of lentils, and I just see in my mind's eye, they run away every year, and they just let the enemy have it because they are no match for this enemy. But this one year, Shammah was home. And he just decided, mama was already making the cornbread, and he was about to eat his black-eyed peas, and ain't nobody going to take them. And you're just going to have to get that way. You're just going to have to get that way. You're just going to have to get that way. Toughen up, buttercup. Amen. Stand up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Amen. We got to stand up and believe God and fight for what is ours. Amen. Now, it would have been good if everybody would have run to help Shammah and said, we're going to fight with you. But it was just him and God. And, you know, I like what Dana said. You know, it should never be just us and God, but this was a little different case. We need one another. But here, nobody was willing to stand with him. But around here, you got a lot of people willing to stand with you. You got a lot of people willing to fight with you. And he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. Why? Because it was his. Because it was his. Healing is yours. Prosperity is yours. Sound mind is yours. A marriage covenant staying together is yours. Your children growing up to serving the Lord and never departing from it is yours. It belongs to you. It's a covenant right. It's a curse for your children to go off and serve other gods. And we've been redeemed from the curse. Amen. It doesn't matter what it looks like. But he stood there. Oh, man, I can picture him. I don't know what he looked like. But I know he had a big old sword in his hand. And he was standing right in the middle of his pea patch. And he decided, you see, David inquired of the Lord, should I go after them? And the Lord said, go get them. And so I can picture Shammah doing the same thing because he's been trained by David. Lord, look, they're coming for my peas. There's a lot of them, Lord, but these are my peas. I was getting ready to eat some. I'm tired, and look, they're coming for my peas. What you going to do about it? And I just feel like the Lord said, stand ye still, set yourself in the middle of it, and get it on. Amen. And whatever that troop was, whether it was 200 or 400, it was one against 200 or one against 400. It didn't matter. I don't know what they had. I don't know what that field looked like afterwards. I don't know if they had to get a hose and clean off the peas or what. But I'm telling you, they had peas. I know some of you girls didn't like that picture, but men all appreciated it. And so, are you with me? He fought and won. If you don't fight, you can't win. And you can't blame it on God. Where are you? He's sitting in the same place he's always been sitting in. Your word don't work. It's always been working, and it always will work. You just got to work it. Well, I've been disappointed. Well, who disappointed you? Not God. I know that's hard to hear sometimes, but he never lets you down. If you really believe he can let you down, it's just impossible from the word's point of view. Well, then it's me. Okay. But you don't have to beat yourself up about it. There's a lot of us. Do you know everything? I still don't know everything. Do you know everything? I know some people who think they know everything, but I don't know anybody who knows everything. That's all why we need one another. We need our friends. We need our help. We need people to help us. We need encouragement. You know, I don't know, you know, what these people were doing, you know, the farmers that all ran away. I can imagine them back there going, "Get him, Shammah." At least they're, you know, rooting for him. And then when the battle was won, they're like, "Can I fix you some peas?" I know everybody likes to come around when the battle's won. But I think we're raising up a bunch of fighters around here in the order of King David, in the order of Jesus. Amen. And he always causes us to triumph. Amen. God is the God of the breakthrough. So there ain't going to be nobody having any breakdowns around here. Everybody say, "I refuse to have a breakdown. I'm having a breakthrough. I'm having a breakthrough." Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You know, God wants you to have your dreams, doesn't he? He wants, but sometimes your dreams are out of your personal reach. Sometimes in your own skill and in your own abilities, you can't get to your dreams. Because really, if it's a dream from God, God gave it to you. And the only way you're going to get to your God dream is if you allow God to take you to your God dream. It's the only way you can get there. It's the only way you can get there. But you can get there. You can get there. But God has to take you there. I said, you can get there. But God, he's the one, you're going to have to hook your, I don't know, your cart, your life, your ladder. I don't know what we're hooking, but you got to hook that to God. Because he's the one that gave it to you. He, you know, like Shammah, he couldn't have done that on his own. He couldn't have been a combination of Chuck Norris, Lee and whoever, Jackie Chan, I don't know. Watched too much, whatever that show was. I mean, one guy cannot defeat 200 men or 400 men, whichever it was, he can't. You are no match for the enemy on your own, but you're not on your own. You're in him far above. And your victory depends on believing in him. But no, make no mistake about it. He wants you to have victory. Say it one more time. I'm not having a breakdown. I'm going to have a breakthrough. Amen.